From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 15th day of December, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes from Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. She'll help us review what's been happening in South America, talk a little bit about electric vehicles as it's related to tractors and John Deere, and we'll discuss last week's WASDE report, some of the things she's concerned about in the marketplace as well. And then as we wrap up our time together, we'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, all on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn in Chicago settled at $5.85¾. That was down 4.5 cents on the day. The May at $5.87¼, 5 lower, and new crop December, the harvest month for next year, at $5.43¾, down 2. Soybeans were up 3 at $12.62½ in the lead January, March at $12.65¼, 3 quarters higher, and November beans, new crop, down 2 at a quarter at $12.40¾. The bean meal at $3.72.20, down 4.70. Bean oil, $53.47, $1.23 higher. Wheat futures, soft red, at $7.56, down 31 cents today. The hard red, 26¼ lower at $7.85½. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the nearby contract at $136.57½. That's down $1.72½ for 100 pounds. Feeder cattle, $164.47½, down $1.92½, and lean hogs at $79.32½, 75 cents lower on the day. Crude oil at $70.85 a barrel, up 12 cents. Diesel fuel or heating oil, that's 0.3 cents higher at $2.22½, and gasoline on the RBOB, the wholesale price at $2.13½ per gallon, up 2¼ cents for the day. Some of the outside markets, the Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 35,520. That's up 72 points on the afternoon. And the gold futures for the day at $1,763.40, down 8.60. On this Wednesday, let's check in on the agricultural commodity markets with Jackie Vakes from Total Farm Marketing. Hey, Jackie, thanks for being with us today.
Well, always a pleasure, Todd.
Start with the support and resistance levels, please.
All righty. On corn, we have March support 572, resistance 634, May 525 and 656, July 595 and 646. Beans, January 1234 and 1328, March 1172 and 1290, and May 1174 and 1289. For gold, I went to January, 1760 support, 1804 resistance, Dow Jones, 31473 support, 36614 resistance, U.S. dollar index, 9559 support, 9735 resistance, Bitcoin, January, 55303 support, resistance at 58149. Managed money this week, Todd, pretty interesting. They're long 11,000 soft week compared to 29,000 last week. Increased their corn position to 331,000 compared to 329. Increased their bean position to 46,000 from 41. Increased their meal position to 49,000 from 37. And decreased their soy oil position from 71,000 last week down to 36,000 long this week. That's the balancing act we see going on there so often on the managed money side of things. Export-wise, wheat exports running 17% behind compared to a year ago. It was only 14% last week. We need to average 15 million bushels a week. Corn, 16% behind. Same thing as it was last week. We need to average 52.8 million bushels per week to make the USDA number. Soybeans, 21% behind compared to 21 last week. Need to average 28.1 million bushels to meet that USDA projected average.
What else do you see in the marketplace that you've been watching?
Well, I'm going to put up a big, in capital letters, caution. Okay. It's so easy to get into the mindset that these markets can't go back to where they were, things like that. And I just want everybody to take note, you know, wheat right now is over a dollar off the high that it had on November 24th. That's not even a month ago. And that's because of production changes in Australia and Canada. This is in spite of the fact that Russia has continued to say they're going to set grain and wheat export quotas from February to June. So what I want to say is be careful. La Nina will be in the market long before we know its true impact. So don't hang on to the idea that this market can't go down, because it most certainly can. NOPA crush came out today, 179.46. That was a little bit below the estimates. Interesting, though, meal's taken a little bit of a breather today, but it's continuing to climb, and that is on a shortage of lysine. And, you know, lysine is used to increase the protein in DDGs, because DDGs cannot take the place of meal. They don't have enough protein. So now, because there's a shortage of lysine, now we need to have meal to meet those protein needs in the animals. So that's what's been driving that part of the market. Ethanol production down slightly over last week, but up 13.58% over last year. Stocks were up 2% from last week, but still down 9% on the year. And maybe a little bit of good news, an EU ammonia production plant at Yara in Oslo is back on and working again. They had stopped from September to November just due to the high cost of natural gas. So they now say fertilizer prices are high enough to justify production. So I guess, you know, that it'll get to the market at some point in time. We just don't know if it'll be in time. Let's put it that way.
Last week, USDA released the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates report. There weren't really any changes domestically for corn or soybeans. Was there anything in the report you found of interest?
Well, I guess I'd have to say that I was a little bit surprised. I expected that they might adjust some of the export numbers on either corn or beans, which they did not do. They did, however, on wheat, and that raised the wheat carryout number. And yet, at the same time, they raised the carryout number for the U.S., or the ending stocks number, and raised the average price by 15 cents. So it seemed pretty strange. I think, you know, so many times the December report, Todd, is very blasé. And that's primarily because it isn't that far before January, and we're going to get the final numbers, you know, when it comes to January. When you look at the world numbers, you know, we saw quite a jump in wheat carryouts. We saw the bean carryouts actually go down a little bit. We saw the corn carryout go up. And so, you know, it's a circumstance where the wheat numbers, again, we're talking about expansion in Australia and Canada and places like that, that are pushing the world numbers. So we can never be blinded to the fact that just the USA drives this market. It's a world market, and that's really what we're looking at.
Anything else that you've been watching closely or that you found of interest in the news?
You know, the fact that John Deere is going to acquire the majority ownership in Kreisel Electric out of Austria, I thought was pretty interesting. You know, if you've ever watched the video on the autonomous tractor that they're saying is the future of farming from Deere, this, I guess, looks to me like a step closer to doing that. Kreisel makes the batteries, and they do it in a different way. And according to what I read, you know, this first step is going to be for their smaller tractors and things like that. But eventually, we know, you know, it'll go the other way. That autonomous tractor, it's just fun to even look at the video, to be honest with you.
Evergrande, speaking of news in China, still in trouble.
Oh, Lord. Well, they're in even deeper trouble than they were before. Fitch Ratings, you know, that's a credit rating agency here in the U.S. They announced on the 9th, of course, you know, that Evergrande defaulted on $1.2 billion in bond debt obligations. And so they're now downgraded to a restricted default rating. Janet Yellen, who is the secretary, you know, Treasury, said the company's failure could have global consequences. Well, I think we're all very aware of that. And Federal Reserve said the strain on the Chinese market could pose risks to the global economic growth. And that would impact us, there's no question. But I think the more serious thing is reportedly Over 10 real estate firms in China defaulted on debts during the second half of 2021. And that was reported on Bloomberg Television as a very significant event. And I think that that is extremely significant. Now, I did read that the owner of Evergrande has divested somewhere around, I don't know, $278 million or somewhere in that neighborhood of his own assets to try and help pay some of this stuff. But $278 million is a long, long ways away from $1.2 billion or the $3 billion plus that they're actually in debt. So this is going to continue to unfold, and it's something, too, that we have to certainly keep in the back of in our back pocket and always in the forefront of your mind when you're thinking about pricing and selling grain.
Before I let you go, anything from Brazil and or Argentina in South America?
Well, when we look at Brazil, this 21-22 harvest in Mato Grosso may be the earliest in history. And I thought that was something pretty interesting, although they are very worried right now. And this seems so strange because it's cloudy and rainy. And they're not getting the sunshine they normally do, so they're afraid their bean yields are not going to be as good as they should be. But that isn't going to change when they're going to harvest. They're going to start harvesting in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And that's something. So the weather in that part of the state's been good. And, of course, you know, it'll be followed by the Safrina cotton. They've sold about 30.4% of their new crop. And that's down from last year. That was at 56.3% last year. Their normal was 36.1, so it's even down from the average. But I think that, you know, that's just a representation of the fact that they got caught pretty short last year with the way that the weather went. And that's only a 2.2% average or increase during the month of November. So they're really sitting on it is what they're doing. Argentina, you know, weather just continues to evolve and not look good. They've planted 56.3% of their beans compared to 57 last year, and that is not a great situation. The trend in recent years in Argentina, basically, Todd, has been to plant a higher percentage of corn during the second phase of planting. So they plant in December, and then they plant again in January, basically to avoid the potential heat and the dryness during the summer months. And so, you know, with La Nina looming large, it appears that they're probably going to plant about 55 to 60% of their corn in that second phase rather than early. So early planting corn is going to be harvested already in March and April. Harvest of the later planted corn could go all the way out into July because of the amount of acreage that they're going to put in late this year. So we'll see. Weather just looks tough down there. There's no question about it.
Hey, thank you.
Well, thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Jackie Vakes is with TotalFarmMarketing.com out of Hollister, Missouri. In today's agricultural news, a bill has been introduced to block retroactive changes to RVOs that has to do with biofuels. Senate Republican Chuck Grassley of Iowa joined Senate Democrat Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota to introduce a bill Tuesday that they say will provide certainty to biofuel producers. The legislation would prohibit the Environmental Protection Agency, US EPA, from reducing the minimum applicable volume of biofuels into transportation fuel once the renewable volume obligation levels are finalized for any given year. That means the lawmakers say the legislation would prevent EPA from retroactively reducing 2020 or future finalized RVO levels. Now, Grassley says, quote, "It's critical that we establish new safeguards that uphold the RFS and ensure all administrations remain committed to following the law," unquote. The bill is co-sponsored by Senate Republican Joni Ernst of Iowa and Democrat Tammy Duckworth of Illinois. Companion legislation was introduced in the House of Representatives by Republican Representative Ashley Hinson of Iowa and Rodney Davis of Illinois, along with House Democrats Angie Craig of Minnesota and Ron Kind of Wisconsin. We'll stay with Senator Grassley for just a moment because cattle marketing reform could still be attached to a long-term extension of livestock mandatory reporting, that according to top market reformer Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Now, Grassley's first take on boosting cattle market competition and prices for independent producers was it's unworkable on a longer-term livestock mandatory reporting bill. But on second thought, Grassley suggests Senate Ag Chair Debbie Stabenow could act when asked about a House-passed one-year extension of reporting through September the 30th.
Stabenow could possibly look at between now and February the 18th, looking at that one-year extension with our Fisher-Grassley bill added to it, or maybe Stabenow wants to look at a five-year bill.
And Stabenow has agreed to Grassley's request to hold a hearing on cattle market reforms planned for January. And finally today, Deere & Company this week announced the expansion of its U.S. footprint with the opening of a new Chicago office. The company plans to add 150 information technology jobs at the office over the next 2 years, with the goal of hiring a total of 300 positions to support IT and additional roles. The facility will target IT capabilities in e-commerce, cloud, data and analytics, and a variety of innovation-related technical skills. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker says John Deere's new technology center in Chicago is just one example of innovation and investment Illinois is inspiring with our top-tier talent and world-class infrastructure. The new space, located in the fast-growing Fulton Market neighborhood, will allow Deere to recruit from the deep bench of diverse talent in Chicago and provide them with the flexibility of in-person collaboration. The new office is expected to open in late summer or early fall 2022. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media and University of Illinois Extension. You'll be find our programming online to listen to on demand anytime you'd like. Just click and play from our website, willag.org. That's willag.org. That website has been recently refreshed. I hope you enjoy it. Let me know what you think of it. And if there are bugs that we still need to fix, we're working some of those out yet at willag.org, willag.org. Just click and play our programming right there from Illinois Public Media's willag.org. Drew Lerner now joins us from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City to discuss the weather forecast. Hello, Drew. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, and happy pre-Christmas here.
Indeed. I want to talk a little bit about South American weather. There have been some dry conditions, some thoughts that maybe things will get drier in parts of southern Brazil. How do you view the next few weeks for them?
Yeah, you know, right now we have a moisture shortage in Paraná, which is one of the more important soybean and corn producing states in the country. The entire west part of Paraná and neighboring areas of Mato Grosso do Sul and Paraguay are already running very short on topsoil moisture and short on subsoil moisture. Now, the soils there are somewhat sandy, and so they can't tolerate a dry environment like that for very long. So that's the first thing we have to at least acknowledge. The second thing is that as we go forward now through the next 10 days, these areas are unlikely to see much more than a few spits and spats of moisture, and net drying is certainly going to be more the case than not. And on top of that, for a few days this weekend into early next week, there's going to be a ridge of high pressure that will build up across Argentina that will spread some heat into southern Brazil from Paraná down into Rio Grande do Sul. And so for this next 10 days, we not only expect to see less moisture, but we also expect to see at least a 4 or 5 day period of warmer temperatures. And so that dryness is likely to fester and expand southward into Rio Grande do Sul and maybe into a part of eastern Argentina and possibly a few areas in northern Argentina. Now, most of Argentina's key crop areas are produced farther to the west in Cordoba and southwestern Santa Fe and northwest through central portions of Buenos Aires. And those areas have ideal soil moisture right now, and they will dry down in this 10-day period, but there's enough moisture there for the main grain and oilseed areas in Argentina to stay in good shape. And the same can be said about northern Brazil. So we're just talking about that southern part of Brazil and some of the minor eastern and northern production areas in Argentina, but it does look like there's going to be dry enough that stress will expand, and we could see a little yield loss, especially in those areas that are already too dry in Paraná and neighboring areas of Mato Grosso do Sul and Paraguay.
Something to keep an eye on, I suppose, but not to be horribly concerned about?
Right, because most of Brazil's crop got planted early, of course, that from a soybean perspective, I should state. And because that crop was planted early, it's going to be ready for harvesting in early January. So if we are too dry now and we're going to spend the next 2 weeks that way, we will shave off some yield. But a big part of the country has good enough soil moisture to coast through a part of this drying period and not be seriously harmed. So the production potential for soybeans it will certainly come down a little bit, but the rest of the country is really in good enough shape that the impact will be low, most likely. Now, Argentina is a little different story, and Rio Grande do Sul, Brazil, is a little different because those areas are planted later, of course, and they have much more growing season ahead of them. And so getting too dry now, and if it were to persist through a larger part of the summer, that could lead to some trouble. The early corn, the first corn crop in Brazil, it's only about 25% of the total corn that's produced in that country, is at least partially vulnerable to this moisture stress we're talking about. And that crop will probably be a little bit more impacted than the soybeans would be.
Here in the United States, can you check in on the hard red winter wheat growing regions, please?
Yes, and it hasn't rained since we talked last, or snowed for that matter, and really it hasn't precipitated in a significant manner across that region for quite a while. And the forecast is going to continue to promote the same for at least the next 10 days and probably for 2 weeks. The temperatures have been very warm for a little bit this week, way above average. And today we've got a crazy wind blowing across the region, and it's a very dry wind. So the humidity is very low, and we're taking more moisture out of the region. So we're going to continue to watch that area. Now, remember, of course, the winter crops are dormant at this point, or at least semi-dormant. Even with the heat, the areas that have been driest for the longest period of time, they can't possibly develop in this environment, so they're dormant as well. So there's not going to be any serious impact other than just zapping more moisture out of the region and raising that concern that we've got to have moisture back in the region before we get to spring in order to give that crop a chance to turn around.
And check in on the Black Sea area and the wheat crop that is overwintering there.
Right. And that area over there, most of the crops were relatively well established this year, but there was a little concern over dryness in parts of Ukraine and Russia. And now we are seeing an increase in precipitation taking place. And there's also a lot of cold air that's headed for the region as we move forward through this weekend and next week. And the good news for them, at least, is that the precipitation will change over to snow, and just about all of the area that produces a significant amount of wheat, barley, or rye, even rapeseed, will be buried in snow before the coldest air arrives. So it may get cold, and you may hear about it, but most likely the crops are going to be favorably protected against that cold because of the snow.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, have a good day.
You too. That's Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.